Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Bald Men on Campus, a new ESPN podcast hosted by Jay Billis, LaPhonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg. These ESPN basketball personalities give you an all-access pass inside the world of college basketball, talking to the biggest names in the sport. That's Bald Men on Campus. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, we are so excited about our new weekday studio show, NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews. Tipping off the start of the NBA season with exclusive content Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Alongside Malika, there will be a full cast of NBA experts and insiders, including Kendrick Perkins, Chinne Agumake, Vince Carter, Zach Lowe, Woj, Ramona Shelburne, and many of our NBA reporters from around the league. Get caught up with the latest from around the NBA on NBA Today, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap, and also available as a podcast. Listen to NBA Today wherever you get your podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is that time of week where we have a guest join us from ESPN and Meadowlark Media. Howard Bryant, what's going on?
Good morning. We're actually close by right now.
I know. We're close by. I'm actually see you later this afternoon. We're shooting an episode of Back on the Record with Bob Costas this week. Be sure to check that out. Friday at 11:30 Eastern. Is the hotel up to your highfalutin standards?
You know what? I didn't think I was a brat, but I am now. We good. If people are going to make fun of it, you might as well just lean into it. You know?
Dude, it happens to us all, right? They start sending us to nice hotels for free for work, right? You get accustomed to nice hotels, and the next thing you know for work, they send you to a different hotel than the nice hotel they had sent you to before, and now you're looking around like, huh, there's no sunken in bathtub here.
I got a little rain shower. Like, the shower's coming from the ceiling, right? I feel like Mama Kaliba in the heat of the night. I got used to better.
It happens. That happens to all of us. Like, I remember I was talking to somebody about this when I was like in college or even a little after that. And I'm like, I mean, these fancy hotels, I mean, I ain't never gonna get too good for the Hampton Inn. Oh, I have gotten so much better than the Hampton Inn. And just so you understand, again, it's because other people were paying for it first. Like, I don't think people appreciate business travel is like the gateway drug into you spending more money on this stuff.
And all of a sudden, you'll be like, $270 of my own money? I might do that.
then you get to the point where you're like, so why is this hotel room $150?
Exactly.
There's no way I would appreciate and enjoy this.
See, but you know what, Bo? But that's important, right? That's important. There are certain things that should cost a certain amount. And if they're beneath that, you get real suspicious, right?
I don't know. That seems a little low. I don't know if that's
like we used to make fun of this place, this Chinese restaurant around the corner, Fuji Chen. It was the funniest stuff ever. I'd be like, yeah, let me get some chicken fried rice and a couple of egg rolls and some teriyaki and some boneless spare ribs. My man would be like, $1.25. I'm like, what?
Right, it's up there like, how am I getting 2 large pizzas for $9.99? You know, like what is this stuff made out of? Now, your thing with Fuji Chen, that should have been the first sign that something wasn't right, is, if I'm not mistaken, Fuji ain't no Chinese word. They out here like, oh, y'all think we all the same. All right, got you. We just throw anything out there.
We love Fuji. And then Fuji Chen was gone one day. It was like in the mall right by the movie theater. So we would go get some Fuji Chen, sneak some egg rolls in the movie theater, and then one day Fuji Chen was gone and the dream died.
Nah, man, there's a spot in Atlanta called China Cafeteria, the China Calf, and the China Calf had to bomb, like, I think it was like $3 on the lunch special, right? And it wasn't like a lunch special portion. Like, you got a real portion on it.
You got some serious food.
Yeah, but we were too broke to be asking questions about why it was that you can keep this so cheap. But then we ultimately realized, like, I don't know if it had to do with the ingredients, but what it really had to do was with the labor force. Let's just say that's the right. China Calf is one of those places that when they put on the window that they're looking for work, they don't put it in English. It is strictly in Espanol. They were not paying anyone with a check.
That's right.
They paid him.
Long live Fuji-chen.
All right, man. It's been quite a week.
It's been a week.
On a number of levels in all things sporting. I didn't even know necessarily where for us to begin, though your man Aaron Rodgers went and did another interview where somebody apparently told him that he needed to apologize for lying to people. And then he went out and apologized for lying to people. And so I guess this is now over with the Aaron Rodgers thing. But this is what I wanted to ask you about that. I feel like the okey-doke took place, and not even that Aaron Rodgers was intentionally trying to get into the okey-doke. But when he tried to turn this into a culture war, I'm like, can we get back to that lie you told? Like, he eventually got back around to it. But when he started talking everything else about being a critical thinker and what he was and what he wasn't, it was like, bruh, we will let you slide for not being vaccinated. We are letting all kinds of people slide for not being vaccinated.
Straight okey-doke. That's exactly what it was. Hiding it as I'm a critical thinker, I'm a libertarian. And then like all the stands be like, well, you know, it's nobody else's business. You're right. It's nobody else's business. He volunteered the lie. He could have easily said, he could have pulled a LeBron. Well, it's a personal decision, right? He could have said this a million different ways. He could have just said, I'm gathering more information. I'll let you know. He could have said all of those things. And instead, he looked you in the eye with smarmy Aaron Rodgers face and was like, yeah, I'm immunized. Who did this? You did this.
Yes. Yes. And like, did he not know that he was being ridiculed about this before the world found out? Like the people who knew about this, because you and I had both been told this, right? Like we were both aware that he was on this con and he had no idea. People were laughing and clowning him from the very beginning on this. But I look at the Packers. I've talked about this. The Packers were clearly embarrassed and thereby did not want him to go out there with no mask on. And I mean, with a mask on, because I'm convinced they were afraid that he would do this madness that he did, except with a sponsor's name in the back.
That's
right.
That was
what they could not have.
Exactly. Right. There's an old school saying in Boston, and I'm going to have to say it in Boston because it's the only way that it really has any effect. You know, like when somebody would pull that, they would say, ah, he got Smart's disease. Aaron Rodgers got Smart's disease. You know, it's like, you're not as clever as you think. It's like when your kid is trying to like lie to you. I've been there, dog. You can't tell me anything. There's nothing you can say that's going to make me believe that I don't think you're lying to me. Right. And I'm like, was this one of those celebrity deals where you put a mic in front of them and we write down what they say and they think it's all good?
Yeah, no, I need to remember that one. Yeah, Smart's disease. That's you're right. If you had called it Smart's disease, that wouldn't have landed. But when you put it in the way that is exactly what it is. Because he made me respect Kyrie Irving more. And I always say that about the Kyrie part, just because at least Kyrie stood on his two. Like we talked about this before. At least Kyrie was like, no, this is what I'm doing. Aaron Rodgers still wants us to like him. Like that is maybe the most interesting thing about him with this is, in the end, what was clear is he didn't want anybody to dislike him, even though he went on the whole, I know the whole woke mob is coming after me. They only came after you because they realized that you was lying. Like, that was the only reason people came at you. And then what really undercut him in the woke mob thing was when Terry Bradshaw brought the heat to him. Because, yeah, that's the woke mob right there.
When Terry Bradshaw's coming after you, you done messed up, A.A. Ron. I mean, Terry Bradshaw is not part of the woke mob, right? And also, that's a bingo card right there anyway, right? Woke mob, cancel me. If you're going there, you're off the rails anyway. It's like the dude with his head out the window and sorry to bother you. Why are you lying?
Yeah, yeah. But here's what I don't think Aaron Rodgers realized. And this is something I think is like a larger media issue that a lot of players need to keep in mind, which is, he would have been much better served if he weren't doing that interview with his buddy. And that's no shade to McAfee, right? But if he weren't doing that interview with his buddy, he would have gotten some pushback on some things that would have allowed him to not go full in on this is what Aaron Rodgers thinks, right? Because the more he said about what he thought, the worse that wound up getting for him. But if somebody could have hit him with some questions, it actually would have worked out better. And some of the things that didn't make sense, he might have been able to answer for right there. But when you go on with your buddy don't want to grill you on it, right? Like you are in a safe space to say whatever it is you want. And the worst thing that Aaron Rodgers ever could have done was said whatever it was that he wanted.
That's right. 2 points on that. One, if you're doing an interview and you're going to talk about antibodies and really, really complicated medical terminology, the guy interviewing you probably shouldn't be wearing a tank top. Probably just good policy right there that he shouldn't have a chain on tank top. It's not going to be taken seriously. The second thing is, though, I will say this, Bo. I think that Aaron Rodgers did our journalism community a real service, because by trying to pull the okie doke, maybe he forced some of us to get a little tougher.
Like when he's like, well, you didn't really ask, right?
Okay, you're right. Because as I always say, when you cover sports, when you walk into that locker room, you are immediately catapulted back into the eighth grade, right? They're the jocks. They're the big men on campus. You're in their territory. Everyone's deferential. It's not a real interview setting. You're being ganged up on when you walk in that room. And it takes some real tough on the reporting side to walk in there and be able to just ask the specific question. That's why some of these guys, like, you know, Steve Jacobson from Newsday, all the legends, those old guys, man, that's why you marvel at the way, like, Joel Sherman over at, not that he's an old guy, but he's my generation, but Joel Sherman, New York Post, knows how to ask you a specific question, right? And so I'm watching that interview again, where he's sitting there trying to play clever and coy with everybody, and it forces you to ask the better question. Are you vaccinated? And if so, which dose did you get? Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson? If he don't answer with one of those three, he's not vaccinated. So to me, when I'm watching this, I'm also thinking, hey, reporters, time for us to pick up our game.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we in media don't say enough is, okay, but that's not what I asked you, right? So I think about when I do, you know, interviews on shows, because I don't do a lot of interviews with strangers anymore. But like, if you do a radio show, you can get just about anything. And I'll never forget, we had Russell Wilson on, and it was hilarious because Russell Wilson, if he doesn't feel like answering your question, he's just going to say something else, right? But
filibuster.
Yeah, it didn't even matter, really. You know what I mean? Like the question, like what we're talking about and what I'm trying to get to wasn't a big enough deal for me to be like, hey, that ain't what I asked you. But in that time, I'm conditioned to, like, let's keep the interview going smoothly. And so we just move on to something else. But what people figured out a long time ago is, if you don't like the question, just answer something else. And we rarely come back to, that ain't what I asked you. And with Rodgers, which was important, that's the thing. What he was talking about actually was important.
That's right.
Not what I asked you. But not a lot of people get into covering sports because they want to ask people hard questions. Like, there's some people who love it, you know what I mean? But most people who are in there like football and just want to get in here and talk about football. They're like, oh, damn, we got to talk about something else now.
Well, that's right. Which is why you can see the way labor is covered the way it is, which is why race is covered the way it is. All the serious stuff, and I don't want to cover that. I mean, that's why we always used to refer to it as guys. They're lifestyle guys. I'm in a locker room. I get to cover this. All my friends are completely envious because they think I have the greatest job in the world. The company is paying for my travel. I get to travel the country and visit my friends and go eat at cool restaurants. I mean, it's a lifestyle. And this stuff gets in the way. It's like, oh, who got busted for what? And now you actually have to do the job. And it is true. I think from now on, when you have these issues, you should have some audio in the show of our friend John McEnroe when he says, answer my question, right? Take that audio and just drop that in there right there, like when you do elevator music, man. Just put it right there so you know that your question's not being answered.
Yeah, and so it did work out well for Aaron Rodgers, though, because Jordan Love stunk to high heaven. Like Aaron Rodgers doing this made everybody look bad. It made Aaron Rodgers look bad. It made the Packers look bad. Because, again, I think they are skating on this because they allowed him to put this out because they did not want him to embarrass them. And then Jordan Love came out there, and it was trying circumstances because he didn't know he was going to be starting until way late. But that dude ain't look like nobody's first round pick. Like, at once you saw why the Packers wanted to move on from Aaron Rodgers and also why they have not.
Aaron Rodgers is watching this going, the price just went up.
Yeah. They're stuck with him. Like, that's what we haven't talked about nearly enough. We got one more year and then we'll see where it goes. Nah, partner, you can't go nowhere.
He could pull his Longshanks and Braveheart. As king, you must find the good in every situation. The price just went up. I might come out of this okay.
Yes, because, yo, that's the thing. He was MVP last year. The 2 years before that, he hadn't been that good. Like, the Packers had good reason to start looking for another quarterback. You don't want to wind up where Pittsburgh is right now, where they're just stuck in the past and keep riding this Roethlisberger thing out. Like, you got to at least give yourself a chance to get somebody else. And so they played it, I thought, right, except Aaron Rodgers then came back from the dead. Not even the dead, you know what I mean? But he came back. And now, nah, man, he ain't going nowhere. And poor Jordan Love, they got his mama up there with Bob Uecker watching a football game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if I said that the other day, because now that reference is so old that nobody knows it.
Nobody knows it.
He up there with Bob Uecker in the upper deck.
Yep. He missed the tag. He missed the tag. Old man reference, but I'm good with it. Look it up.
Hey, man, that's the we don't have another reference for the cheap seats anymore, right? Like we don't have anything to point to. We got Bob Uecker up there.
I must be in the front row.
Yo, you know what I just thought about as I mentioned Bob Uecker?
He's great. He's hilarious.
He is all of those things, but there's no room anymore for somebody to make money off being sorry. Like, the whole basis of the Bob Uecker thing is that Bob Uecker, he was a baby. He wasn't a good baseball player, but I'm not sure he was like the worst baseball player ever. But he made a whole career, got himself onto Mr. Belvedere, all of this stuff on the basis of not being good at baseball.
That's right. That's right. And there are all kinds of guys like that. And Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Although he was a comic genius, but at the same time, that was the persona, right?
Yes. And once excellence is less valuable than it has ever been, but also being sorry is less valuable than it has ever been. We have let the mediocre conquer everything. They ain't making no room for the bums or the stars.
Come back, Charlie Brown.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Oh, and the other part. I don't know why we've been so naive as to believe that other people are running various cons of this type. You know what I mean? Like, I talked about this before, where your man's Evander Kane, who has had a really bad 2021, but they got him for having the bogus vaccine card. And I'm like, so you expect me to believe that he's the only person in the NHL that's out here running this game? Like, you don't think there's anybody in the NHL lying about their vaccination status?
Why didn't he just put on, like, you know, the fake nose with the glasses and the mustache?
Yeah, but as I said before, you are an actual hockey fan. I am not. But I know of and remember the Edmonton Oilers cocaine scandal of the 1980s. And I didn't realize it was a full-on scandal in the 80s, because the only awareness I had of the scandal was that Grant Fuhr stayed turning up in the sports section of Jet Magazine. Right? Like, every time Grant Fuhr went to court again or something like that, there would always be a story in Jet Magazine about it. And for those of you who are too young and too white to know what Jet Magazine is, it was a black people magazine that basically all our parents and grandparents had in our homes and somehow always magically opened up directly to page 43. But Grant Fuhr would always be in the Jet Magazine during that. But what I didn't realize was he was the only person they hemmed up.
Exactly. You know what that reminded me of? That was like when you watch T2 and the only brother in the movie destroys the universe is Joe Morton, right?
Yes.
The only black man in the league is the one that's going to be the poster child for the cocaine.
Yes. Yes.
Come on, Grant.
Right. And he's like the fourth, maybe most famous person on that team, right? Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, Paul Coffey was on that team. I forget who else, but like all
Yari
these Tony's guys.
On that team.
Yeah, that's right. All those guys. And he's the one who got picked out. And that's what I thought about Evander Kane. Like, we have heard about our football crackpots. We have heard about our basketball crackpots. Somehow, we have heard very little about our baseball crackpots and our hockey crackpots. And if you look at the demographic overlaps of who seems to turn out to be one of these crackpots, it's those leagues. Like, whenever you turn on, when you go onto Facebook and look for the crackpots, well, that right there is a multicultural affair. When you turn on the television and you hear from the crackpots, they all look like baseball and hockey players.
Exactly.
And we don't, like, none of them. When Kyrie had his thing, right, and the Rolling Stone article came out, and I had, like, your CNNs, your MSNBCs calling me to come on and talk about it, and they would have some producer call me and ask what I think. And they're like, so what do you think about the NBA? Does it have a vaccination problem? I'm like, they say they got 96% vaccinated. What are we talking about here? Like, one thing about Kyrie, you can't never look at Kyrie and think he reflect nothing but him, right? And they were trying to take this and then extrapolate it to this whole larger thing. When Aaron Rodgers got caught up, nobody was hitting me up to find out if the NFL actually had a vaccination problem because this guy told us he was vaccinated and he was not. Like, nobody wanted to take that to any other place. And my first thought when I saw that was, oh, so who else is doing this?
Mm-hmm. Same. I was like, where's the Cole Beasley resurrection? These are the decisions that when people get upset when black reporters or black people are talking about systemic decision making, who things get stuck to and the things that don't get stuck to other people. This is exactly that type of thing. I mean, what is the NFL vaccination rate right now? They say it's around like 90, right? Is it?
Yeah, something like that.
And so 90 out of 2,000, there's got to be a crackpot quotient in there somewhere. Right? You're talking about a pretty good number of actual players.
Well, this is my other question. What verification were they doing in the league when people turned in their cards or whatever it was? Like, what checking are they doing? Because you couldn't just take people's word for this, right? What checking were you actually doing? And I got to tell you, if I played for the Packers and I wound up suffering some like serious COVID off of this,
I'm suing Aaron Rodgers.
I'm suing the team.
It's in the Packers. I'm doing them both.
Aaron Rodgers lied to us. That's his fault. Aaron Rodgers being able to skirt the protocols is their fault.
Is their fault.
And that I will not put on him, right? Like Aaron Rodgers getting away with that lie was our fault. Him telling it, his fault. You know, everybody shares something in this. That, for me, has been a big part of that.
You didn't ask.
Right there, he got Aaron Rodgers tried to lie to us. I was talking about this, what I call teenage lies. Like, you know, when you a teenager, you think that just because somebody can't prove you lying, they don't know you lying, right? Like, I look back in my life at the lies that I thought my mother believed, and I know 100% she did not. Because I'm like, what, you can't prove it, right? No. And that's where Aaron Rodgers went with that immunized lie. Like, that was a lie a child tells.
That's right. He gets Mars disease. You know, what makes you think I can't see through this?
He's got Smart's disease. Smart's disease.
Actually, my father used to say this, right? The I can't prove it standard. He would look at you and go, you trying to make a jerk out of me? You trying to make a jerk out of me? In other words, I know you lying.
Yes. Oh, man. That's like I had somebody in a calculus class when I was in college. Professor walked past and thought the dude was stealing. Like, I don't know how, but he thought he was stealing. And I just remember, forget it, was an Ethiopian cat. And he just looked at him and was like, are you trying to cheat me? Not the test, me, right? Like the second you feel like you've been played. And that's going to be the thing for Aaron when he deals with them cats is people don't like it when they feel like they got played. You took me for a sucker. That's the problem. Is that you like you didn't even put no effort into this.
That's
you
right.
You took me for a sucker. And by the way, we were suckers collectively, cross board, suckers.
That's right.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Can I just say something before I just lose track? I don't want to lose sight of this. You know, I was up late last night, and before I went to bed, I saw a tweet of yours that echoed exactly what I was thinking about our friend Scottie Pippen. And it was just this simple, why are you doing this?
Why are you doing this?
I just busted out laughing. Why are you doing this?
Yo, and the platitude express shows up in my mentions when I ask that. And they're like, he's trying to sell books. I ain't met a yet that has heard what he was saying and being like, damn, I gotta go read the book now. Nobody can. Like, what are you doing? Like, and he means every word. Like, if I thought that this was just all a contrived publicity stunt, that would be one thing. No, Scotty is like, I want to get my respect. How much more respect are we supposed to give you? Six-time champion, NBA Hall of Famer, top 50 list honoree, top 75 list honoree. How much respect are we supposed to give Scottie Pippen? And then I realized how, oh my God, yo, I made the point. And they're like, well, he couldn't have won those championships without Scottie. And I'm like, yeah, if you take Scottie off and don't put anybody else on the team, no, they can't win a championship without Scottie. But I'm like, you telling me if they had Clyde Drexler, they couldn't have won those championships? They're like, well, Clyde couldn't play defense like Scottie. No, he's not the same exact person. Like, y'all are acting like the only person that could play with Michael Jordan and win a championship was that one guy, that dude, Scottie Pippen. No, that wouldn't be it. If they had Jordan and Drexler on the same team, I don't know how good they would have been on defense, and it wouldn't have mattered.
Wouldn't have mattered. Put Kevin McHale in that front line.
That's what I'm saying. Put Robert Parrish on that team. Give you a decent, like a legitimate all-star caliber big man. Like all these different people. And so, Scottie, I feel so bad for these people who clearly in public want something that they're never going to get. And he's that guy. If you want us to think of you as being as important as Michael Jordan, not going to happen. If you want us to think that the only way Michael Jordan could have won championships was with you, not going to happen.
Answer this question for me because it's extremely important. Why is he doing this?
That documentary pissed him off. But you know what I think happened to him in part in that documentary? And like appreciating that Scottie Pippen is a human being? After he heard the things that he did not like, I don't think he was able to hear anything else. Like, anything I don't else. Think that that documentary was nearly as negative toward him as he says it was. But at the same time, when Jordan said that he thought it was selfish that Scottie had that surgery when he did going into the 97-98 season, they asked Scottie why he did it then, and he said, I didn't want to mess up my summer. How much more selfish is it than that? And even if you were justified for it, right? Like, I get why you would decide to make a selfish call in that. And it seemed to be laid out pretty clearly why it is that Scottie felt the way he did and did what he did. But it was selfish what you ultimately did. You ain't made peace with that?
Didn't make peace with it. And on top of that, Scottie wanted to prove y'all need me. Right? Why do you schedule that surgery before the season begins? To prove, hey, when y'all are six games under, when I'm out, I'll get my money. I mean, because we know that Scottie Pippen has one central grievance, right? I mean, there's one central grievance about Scottie Pippen. I didn't get mine. Y'all never gonna get yours because what I have is not enough, right? So you can't even list the resume as you just did and have that satisfy him. Right. I mean, there's nothing you can do, especially because what are we creeping up now on? 20 years post retirement?
Yeah.
When did Scottie Pippen retire? 99?
Retired like 05.
Was it 05?
But that's the other part. And see, that's the point the Bulls make is that you were definitely underpaid in that time, but they paid him out at the end of his career. And I think they kept him on the payroll after the fact. Where Scottie lost me. Scottie said this thing about, I hear about a lot of flu games. I don't hear about a lot of bad back games. First of all, you don't hear about a lot of people playing with the flu. That was the first lie in that. Like, you hear about flu-like symptoms in the NBA, but there's a reason why they don't call that the flu, because that's a lie. Like, you don't hear a lot about people playing with the flu, but they don't call it a bad back game if you play like you got a bad back. Like, Jordan didn't play like he had the flu. That's why it is the flu game. You played like you had a bad back, which, by the way, totally fair and justified on your part. You did, in fact, have a bad back. You were very tough in continuing to play that game. That game ain't about you. If you'd have hit the last shot with the bad back, now we'd be talking. Now, with Scottie, at least we don't talk about your bad back like they do to my grain. Like, if I want to be mad at Jordan about something, it's that 30 years later, no one has been able to explain to Michael Jordan, like, hey, man, migraines are really debilitating. Nope. He can't conceive of it. It's just a headache.
Have you ever had a migraine?
No.
Like a real migraine? I used to get them. You ain't playing. You ain't walking. You ain't sleeping. All you're doing is crying.
Yeah.
I mean, when Michael talks about the migraine and sort of like brushes off the migraine, that makes me laugh. Yes. And the reason why that makes me laugh is because I'm like, could I get a little camera and hit Michael with a migraine? You want to see a god look like a man real fast? The beauty of all this is, the other thing I'm thinking about on this is, what's Michael thinking right now? You know, I mean, because if there is a monument, right? Let's just take a step back. If there is the unassailable monument, and there are many reasons for this, and y'all can have at it as time goes on. Maybe it's because you protect your own time and we're all alive right now and this is our period. We were there for Michael, right? For most of Michael or all of Michael. Michael, in his six championships, never trailed after three games. Michael never went 7. Everybody else got an MVP on different championship teams except Michael's teams. Michael got them all, right? So say whatever you want about the Michael Jordan monument, right? But clearly, there's something inside of Scottie Pippen that says he wasn't that good.
Right. Right. He's like, I don't know why y'all be talking about him like that. I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't good. I'm just saying that, you know, he ain't as good as y'all say. And younger people make that point all the time about, you know, your generation just has to make Michael Jordan this, that, and the third. And I'm like, dude, here's what y'all don't understand. It's not like people were enthusiastic all the time about the idea of heaping all this praise upon Michael Jordan. He made it impossible.
You couldn't argue it.
Like, and there were arguments, and there had been arguments, and there's always a hater. I'm not a Michael Jordan fan. You know what I mean? But you go look at Mike. Like, I remember I used to say when LeBron was coming up, I was like, LeBron's the best player I've ever seen. LeBron's better than Michael Jordan. And I could go pull up a statistical case and all of those things. Bruh, I pulled up a Michael Jordan highlight tape on YouTube. I hadn't watched anything like that in years because I didn't need to go look at Michael Jordan, right? Man, I went and watched that and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was tripping.
Yeah. Michael Jordan was, in terms of controlling your time period, nobody did it like him. Nobody. That's not to say that Michael couldn't, in a different time, you know, couldn't have dominated the ABA or would have had to go against Dr. J or David Thompson or Kareem in the 70s or Wilt, whatever. All I'm saying is during Michael's time, that was Michael's time. No way around it.
Yeah, find the flaw. It's not there.
Best part about it, too, what cracks me about Michael is our man Chris Herring has his book coming out on the Knicks, Blood at the Garden, which I recommend. It's fun to read. And it's like, and especially as a hater reader, it does make me laugh because, you know, I'm a Boston guy. So I got to throw a little shade at the Knicks all the time. I'm like, I said, when I first got the advanced copy, I opened it up and I said, let's see how many missed shots are on this page. Let's see how many shots John Starks missed on that page, right? You still have to remember, you're going through a time period there where Michael Jordan and those years, the margins are like minuscule. And yet he's always coming out on top. Final score, Knicks 59, Bulls 57, right? And then the Bulls win the next game 70-68, right? You're talking a couple of points here. Michael never loses. And so I'm just looking at Scottie and I'm going, okay, how do we make this right for you? Is there anything that can make this right for you? You know, no.
That's the thing about unhappiness, man. Like, he's got to get to the core of whatever it is. Because, again, you know, people think me and my man Vinny are haters about this, but I always say this. There's two kinds of basketball fans. Either you think Scottie Pippen's overrated or you think Scottie Pippen's underrated. There's really not a lot of in-between on it.
I was always in the former camp.
Yeah, I mean, same. Like, I Hall of Famer, yes, great defender, all of those things. And he was – Don Nelson had started that whole point forward idea, right, with Marcus Johnson and Paul Pressey. But Scottie Pippen was the next level of the evolution of that, right? The problem was he was not close to being a number one offensive option. And so if you ever needed, like, Scottie, we need you to get us these buckets to get us to the end. He was never that guy, right? And that's always, for me, going to be a certain measure of demerit that if you need it.
And it has to be.
Yeah, for the rarefied air that we're putting him in. If it was like, yo, Scottie, we need you to do it tonight. Scottie was not the guy that you could go trust to be the one to do it. That just what it was. But he's like, he's had a tough life. He's going through a tough time right now. Like, all of these things happen to be the case. And there's nobody around to be like, bro, you're embarrassing yourself right now, man. Like this is so, this is a bad look.
Yeah. It's so funny. Not, I don't mean funny, hilarious. I just mean The Last Dance opened up some wounds.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and stuff. And not only did it open up wounds, it opened up wounds that we didn't think were wounds. I thought we all established that Michael was the show, Scottie was the indispensable part of the show, and everybody got their 6 championships, and Michael won because he was the best, Scottie won because Scottie is undisputably considered one of the greats of all time, the players won because they stuck it to Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf, the city won because they got their 6 championships, Scottie ain't happy.
But you know who else isn't happy?
Michael.
Yes, he's just better at looking happy. Like, that's the thing about it. Michael Jordan is not a happy man, but he's not about to be coming out here looking like a grump in front of us. That's not about to happen. Scottie Pippen's like, nah, I'll be grumpy enough for everybody.
How you gonna fight a battle that took place 25 years ago?
Yeah. You got to go fight him. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, is that really what Scottie needs to do? Like, actually go fight Michael Jordan? Because my money's on Scottie. Like, just to be clear, if they go scrap it out, that's something we don't talk nearly enough about. If Michael and Scottie had to fight, who's your money on? And my money's on Scottie. You know why?
Because he has grievance.
He has grievance. And given all the things that Scottie is carrying, it is entirely possible that he is, what I always tell people, is the man you want to mess with the least. The man who cries when he fights.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of that. The poverty, the loss.
All coming out.
All coming out at one time. And at Mike in particular. Like, the only person, even though Scottie plays it a little cooler than this, I mean, I'm not saying he hates Mike like Joe Frazier hates Ali, but I feel like it might be in a similar class of things.
That is an outstanding comp.
Nobody hates anybody as much as Joe Frazier hated Ali, and he was fully justified.
That's real. And I think that it's the accumulation of the number of times sitting side by side in meetings or what, you know what I mean? Where you can't escape this.
This be your destiny.
There's no way out. You know, navigating your destiny is a really hard thing to do when destiny is not on your side. Right? And I think that you're right when you're saying, okay, well, where's his team going, Scottie? Okay, we understood it when you were trying to sell some liquor. But it's done now, right?
You ain't winning no fight against Mike in public.
You also, like, to me, I had a transition moment that should be acknowledged here. There was a part of me when watching The Last Dance that I simply concluded that here is a period for Scottie to say some things he hasn't had a chance to say. And now, because this is raw and it's fresh and it's a pandemic and we've all been in the house, here's his chance to speak his piece, because he probably never has really had a chance to speak his piece. We're coming up on 2 years now.
Yeah.
We're in year two of this. And Scottie has put his foot on the gas. He's not like, okay, I was mad. Now I'm straight. I'm going back to my regularly scheduled life. He's like, no. This is a part of my game right now.
Yeah. But you know what also? Scottie really believed it when people told him that it was about all of y'all.
Yep.
He really thought that this wasn't about Michael. The movie was supposed to be about the whole team. I mean, that's why y'all all got y'all's little vignettes, one at a time. This was about Michael Jordan. Now, I want to switch gears a little because we're getting toward time, but I want to make sure to bring this up because I ain't talked about it nowhere else, but still just a thing. What'd you think about your boy Robert Sarver and that report?
I think, once again, this is the reason why we have journalism, because none of this happens without it. I think this is one of the reasons why you need independent journalism, because nothing happens without it. I think that it's more than just a sensational type of story, because you are dealing with people in their careers. You got to work for these people. But what the hell's going on in Phoenix?
Yo, every time something like this happens, people are like, are you surprised to find out that people act like this? Kinda, yeah. I ain't never had no job where they was acting like this. And I don't work for the whitest of the white folks. I ain't never had no job where I came out of there and had stories like these. Yes, I am surprised to find these things out.
Hey, baby, there's a call for you. It's Robert Sarver's wife.
Yes, shaking people up after they went out.
Shaking people up and down. She's a gangster. She's like Catherine Zeta-Jones in Traffic. She's taking over the family business.
Yeah, and if you don't know, this is a subsequent report that Robert Sarver's wife, after the first report about, you know, with his N-word stuff and everything else, started calling people like, and if this affects my children, I will, you know, you will be hearing from me type stuff.
You will be held accountable.
Yeah, like, you think nobody's going to tell on you behind this, right? Like, they did that. Now, this last report, did you see the report about the roast? Did you see that?
I don't think I have.
Yeah, and I think this report is not worthwhile, but this is where we are, though, with Sarver. We're basically, there was a roast for a former minority owner of the team. And Sarver, I mean, he acted like it was a roast. The thing is, he acts like work is a roast.
Yes, yes, yes. I did hear about this.
Yeah, but like the things he said at the roast are things that people say at a roast. Hey, I'm not coming down on that. But my man, and this is the underrated one for me, my man taking a picture of his wife in the son's bikini and then passing it around the office and asking people, you know, like this, you know, this is what the bikini looks like. And he used his wife as the model. Fool, what are you doing right now? Because there's one of two things. Either people are looking at that picture and they laughing, or they looking at that picture and they not laughing.
And they're not
laughing. And for me, neither of those is a desirable response when it comes to my wife.
Yeah. And also, let the record show that there are certain traditions that aren't really meant to survive. And the roast is probably one of them. The work roast, absolutely. Because anybody, if you hop on YouTube, please, youngins, millennials, or whatever that next generation, Gen Z, whatever they call y'all, please hop on YouTube and just go into the 1970s and look at the Dean Martin celebrity roast. They weren't cool then.
But that's the point of a roast, right? It's to not be cool.
I mean, or if you want to have your own generational roast, just go look and see what Michelle Wolf did to Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the correspondence dinner a few years ago with the Sophia Loren smoky eye.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, roasts are meant to be extremely mean-spirited. Like really mean-spirited takedowns of our honoree.
And I'm okay with that because the whole idea is then the honoree gets up and then bring it back to everybody else. Like, I think there's something to be said. I think the comedians want this too broadly, but I think there's something to be said for it and it's something more small and controlled, which is we have established walking in the door that these are the rules, right? Like, these are the bounds and they're a little bit loose, you know, but this is what it is. Like, saying something inappropriate is only a problem if it's inappropriate. Whether or not it's inappropriate is determined by the setting. If the setting thereby says that this is appropriate. Now, there is like Ted Danson at the Whoopi Goldberg Friars Club roast, which is going too far. Like, right, like there are some levels of it. But like some
off color. Oh, that's the bad one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he showed up in blackface.
And he made an extremely inappropriate comment about her too, didn't he?
Yeah, he went inward. He went too far. Yeah, like, right, right. Like, there's such thing as going too far, but I think that this room, we're like, yo, we gonna get in here and say stuff that we're not supposed to say. And like, then going and telling on that for Sarver, no, not so much. My thing with the Sarver story, though, was James Jones, bruh. Yo, I'm telling everybody that's out here listening to this right now, this is a pro tip. I'm putting you up on game. That white man gonna have to save himself. Like, when something like this comes up, whoever it is, I don't care how well I know you, white person, if you get caught up on something like this, you're going to have to let that person save themselves. I love Dan Le Batard. Like, he is family. If somebody put out a quote out here like this about him, we could talk about it when ain't nobody around, but I will not be your letter of reference in public when it comes down to this. And James Jones, not only did he serve as the letter of reference, he even then did a takedown of Earl Watson.
Yep.
And that's like, no, dog, that can't be you. Somebody else.
Can't be the one. Can't be the one. I mean, it's a wild story, but it's also a story that is so predictable in so many ways because these people don't answer to anybody. And I think the thing that we have to remember about sports in particular is it's a closed business. And when I say closed business, there's no competition. You're not going to go work for the ABA, right? So you mess with these people, you mess with one, you mess with all of them. Because word gets around quickly if you get, you know, let go by the Suns. That doesn't mean the Nuggets are going to hire you. That means the Nuggets are going to call the Suns and say, what happened? So everybody has to stay in line, you know? So these guys have license to just wild out in ways that you just can't in real businesses. And also the history of the industry itself, because it's such a boys club, the corporate rules don't apply, or they haven't applied. As the industry becomes more diverse, as the sports get bigger and bigger, they become more corporate, which means you've got more corporate rules. Whereas before it was just family owned stuff. And these guys did whatever they wanted to do because they were untouchable. They weren't part of the stock market or whatever. Now you try to bring normal, regular corporate rules to these sports leagues and these sports teams, oh, they'll be collisions.
Thing is, all these guys got their money by and large off of stuff that they're all following the rules. And then they decided, no, that's not the game that we're going to play over here. The thing that gets me about Sarver is the same thing that gets me about Dan Snyder. They're not even good at what they're doing.
They're not even good at what they're
doing. Right, like the NFL, they own Snyder. Your attendance is bad. It's bringing down the numbers. You're bringing down the league with the way that you're running this team. Sarver, that team was terrible for 10 years in a row, right? Like all those things happened there, and they still not going to run a cat like that off because they all scared that it might be them. And what we can never forget is after they had made this call about Donald Sterling, and Mark Cuban called out the camera crew and did that interview where he was like, hey, we've all got, you know, things we think that are this, that, and the third and everything else. And we got to be careful about what we're doing here. And then 4 years later, who turns up with a toxic workplace? Mark Cuban.
Like
the hit dog hollered right then and there in front of everybody. And that's what you realize is we don't know just how messed up some of these environments are. And what gets me about it is, you're not even helping nothing. You know, like this isn't good for the bottom line. Like it isn't like, so I don't know if you saw this. Some player at the University of Texas put out a recording of the defensive line coach screaming at them on the bus because he was mad that they was laughing and all this stuff. But that man at least has an argument that he was doing this for the greater good, right? Like, yep. Like I'm trying to light a fire under their asses and get them to understand the magnitude and the consequences of what we're doing.
I love those, by the way.
Yeah, but this stuff we get from Sarver and them, this isn't even helping. Like, this isn't doing anything good for anybody. It has no functional value. Like, this is just, at best, negligence. At worst, y'all are terrible people.
But let the record show also, to everybody listening to this, this is another reason why, when I tell people, winning is not the primary goal of sports teams, believe it. Right? These organizations, they're not trying to win. If they were trying, you think they would act like this if winning was primary?
Right.
I'm telling you, you could put a trained monkey playing cymbals and make the playoffs at least once in a 10-year period in a salary cap league where half the league makes the playoffs. Do you know how hard it is to not make the playoffs in a league where half the league makes the playoffs? Like, you know, remember how hard it was? There was a time in the NBA where 16 of the 23 teams made the playoffs and the Clippers couldn't make the playoffs.
Ever.
16 of 23 make the playoffs in the NHL back in the 80s and the 90s. Before expansion, 16 of 21 teams made the playoffs. Do you know how hard it is not to make the playoffs? Everybody makes the playoffs. And yet you talk to fans, and fans think that when the owner steps up that they're trying to win. Winning is like fourth, if that.
Yeah, like there are a handful of guys, like even if he wasn't good at it, George Steinbrenner really cared about winning. It's a few people who actually care about it. Like, and then there's like Mark Cuban, who I think cares about winning. I think he's got some other things that he cares about, and they really have not won that much. Like Dirk Nowitzki and Luka Doncic have made Mark Cuban look much better at his job than he has ever actually been, right? Like we have those guys, but no, you're right, by and large. And to be fair to them, winning ain't easy. Like winning for real is hard,
that's right.
hard to do. But hey, that is Howard Bryant. Check him out, Metal Arc Media. I'll be on the screen. Howard's an executive producer. Check out Back on the Record with Bob Costas, Friday, November 13th, 11:30 Eastern. We will be there. It's 11 Eastern.
Friday's the 12th, Bomani.
It is. You're right. Friday's the 12th. My bad. I thought we were shooting on the 12th and it was on the 13th. I've been very busy. It happens. But ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on the right time. We do this 3 times a week. Gabe Bassan and Dave Presley handling things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow the right time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.